Okay, we got a lot of scripture to look at tonight, so I'm going to keep you hopping there, Jacob. Like Shannon said, a couple of months ago, I was talking to a lady who has been at the church for a little while, and she was talking about some things that she was struggling with and tempted by, and I said, well, you know what, here are some good scriptures that will help you. And as I was talking about fighting this thing, it's like she looked at me like this foreign concept, and she's like, well, you know, if it's the Lord's will. I was like, no, this is a sword. We fight with this thing. And so it kind of started percolating in my mind. How many Christians are just kind of sitting ducks for what Satan wants to do against their lives? The Bible says, John 10:10, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And if we do not use the armor that God has given us and the sword he's given us, we can't blame God when Satan has inroads into our lives. So hopefully tonight, the goal is to just strategically build some disciplines in our lives that will help us be not just Christians, but victorious Christians, because that's what God wants us to be. Okay, so the first thing, Jacob, if you want to put that up for me, the first thing that we're going to deal with, I got lots of pictures and words there, so if you want to take notes, rock on. Let me just pray. Thank you, Jesus, for the opportunity to learn from your word and to speak to your people. God, your word is such a gift to us, and your presence is such a gift to us. And I pray that we will just honor you in the way that we steward you and your word tonight. In Jesus' name, we come against any distractions. I pray that even the youngest to the oldest, God, will be inspired by your word and apply it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, the first thing that we deal with once we become a Christian is the attack of sin. Sin is just a reality, something that we're going to have to deal with on a daily basis. And some people think, you know, what's the big deal about sin? There is grace, there is forgiveness, so what's the big deal? There are three things that I'm going to highlight that sin does, that sin brings in our life. First of all, sin causes us to distance ourselves from God. Isn't it amazing that Satan, who is completely subtle, he was able to draw Adam and Eve away from perfect God in a perfect place in perfect standing. I mean, they had everything, and yet Satan was able to subtly pull them from contentment with what they had. And that's what Satan does. He comes in very subtly, and he distracts us. And the first thing that Adam and Eve did after they sinned is what? They hid from God. They hid from the only one who could restore them to right relationship and forgive them. And so, I'm watching my time. They hid from the Lord. Genesis 3, verse 7 through 10, God came and he was looking for them. Go ahead to verse 10. And it says that Adam said, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Sin causes us to distance ourselves from God. Secondly, sin brings death. Physical, relational, financial, and emotional. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, Adam and Eve, the minute they sinned, they did not die. They didn't just all over they went. No, they immediately had consequences for that sin. There was forgiveness, but there were consequences. And there are always consequences with sin. You can put it back on the PowerPoint. There are always consequences with sin. The Israelites, when they fell away from the Lord and did not believe him to go into the promised land, they said, I'm sorry, we will go. But that door was shut. David, when he committed sin with Bathsheba, the Lord forgave him. He still, in the book of Acts, is known as the man after God's own heart. But the sword didn't depart from his house, and there was insurrection, and there was drama, and he lost his son as a result. So there are always consequences. We might not see them immediately, but in cases of relationship, if there is a betrayal of the trust, then you can pray all that you want that trust will be restored, but stuff gets tricky with this whole free will thing. God has given us free will. And if we choose to sin and hurt other people, sometimes you never get back what you lost in the process. God will walk through the ashes with you. He will restore, but there is a free will line that God will not cross. So sin is not worth it. Finally, sin dulls conscience. Let's look at Romans 1:28. It says, And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, which means void of a judgment, debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. It's amazing when you listen to people in like Hollywood or sometimes from political parties, and they're saying their version of truth, and you're thinking, like, what are you even talking about? That's not even remotely true. That's not even remotely moral. Once we get apart from this, our version of truth can get so skewed because we can be turned over to a debased mind, which means void of judgment. Even our judgment is off. And you see that. And so sin is not worth, I've heard it said, sin takes you, what is it, farther than you want to go? Keeps you longer than you want to stay and makes you pay more than you want to pay. I totally botched that up. It wasn't pretty. But you get the idea that sin is not worth being farther away from God. If you want to put back on the PowerPoint, farther away from God, it's not worth the drama that it causes and the dulling of our conscience. Have you ever played tug of war? When you're playing tug of war, when you first start playing and someone is pulling and you're pulling back, at first your hands hurt, right? Your hands are like getting all crampy and stuff. But if you continually do something that requires friction, after a while, your hand will get hard. I have calluses on my fingers from playing guitar for all these years and they will peel. But man, you could stick a nail in the tips of my fingers and I wouldn't feel it because I have calluses. That's what can happen to our heart. As God is drawing us, if we are pulling away from what God's calling us to do, our hearts can get hard to the point that we can't hear him, we can't sense what he's saying, and we are distant from him. So sin has a huge price tag. So this is how I deal with sin. See the little creepy guy at the bottom? This is how I deal with sin. Whenever I am tempted by something, Satan always packages it really nicely, right? The beer commercials on TV, like you hear them popping the top and it's like, and then you see the condensation on the bottle and everybody who drinks that is all skinny and pretty and everything. But then it doesn't show the DUIs. It doesn't show the people in jail. It doesn't show the addiction. Satan does the same thing. He shows you the package, but behind that package, he's all creepy with his demons trying to reel you in. And that's what sin will do. It'll keep snowballing in your life until he can effectively kill, steal, and destroy you. So that is sin. Okay, we're going to move on to, we're just talking about different disciplines in the Christian faith. The second one is the importance of reading the Bible. The Bible is a sword. Ephesians 6:17 says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So this is how we fight anything that comes against our lives. We fight it with this. Hebrews 4:12 says that the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. So what does that look like? When Satan brings germs into your house and you are tempted to get all freaked out and inundated with germs and all the drama that comes with that, you can say, okay, it may look like my child has a fever right now, but the word says that by Jesus' stripes, you were healed. And so instead of latching on to the fear of what Satan's trying to bring on your family, you latch on to the truth of what Jesus did to deliver you from it. When Satan comes at you with lies like, you can't do what this Christian thing, you can't beat this addiction, you can't restore your marriage, you say, Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When Satan comes against you and says, God cannot use you, you're too far gone, you say, no, Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. So you just fight back. When he comes with lies, you just break. No, the God's word says this. And you get all dramatic with it. You can get loud with it. The more he whispers in my ear, sometimes I will walk through my house screaming God's word because that's what it takes to keep our mind focused on what God's word says. Secondly, God's word is a manual. Psalm 119:105 says, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The truth is, this is a dark world and it's getting darker by the day. If ever there's a time to read more of this word, it is now. We need more light. The darker it gets, the brighter you need your light to be. And finally, the word is a love letter. John 15:26 says, But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the things that I said to you. So as you read this, these are all God's words to us. And then when we need them, the Holy Spirit will dredge that back up. It's the coolest thing how he does that. When Adam and I were engaged, I was planning the wedding down here, and he was living up in New Jersey because he already had a job up there and was dealing with the house. And he wrote me a letter. This is so cool. He wrote me a letter every day. Every day I would go out to my mailbox. I know all the guys are like, shut up. But show off. But every day I would go to the mailbox and there was a letter from Adam, and then we would talk on the phone. So though there was distance, I was still able to grow in my relationship with him. Sometimes you will feel distant from God. You won't necessarily feel his presence. You might not see your prayers being answered. But if you will read this, when you need it, the Holy Spirit will bring back, not always when we want him to, but he will bring back in those moments that we need those reminders that God is with us. He will bring that back. And so it is so important that we stay in the Word of God. And now I have on, if you'll look down here, go ahead to the PowerPoint on the Word of God. This is how I read the Word of God. I read quality, not quantity. Now, it's more important that you read one chapter fully vested than 10 chapters like blah, 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 blah. I'm not really paying attention, but I'm checking the box. But I always keep in mind that the more you know, the more you grow. So I try to read quality and quantity. Honestly, I try to read a number of chapters a day because this thing is spiritual medicine for everything that I will ever face. So if you've got medicine in your cabinet, you've got good vitamins. Man, I take vitamins. I take my garlic pills every night, and I take my vitamin every night, and I take my my krill oil every night because those are all good for your body. Well, the same thing. You want to stay strong spiritually, man, get this in there, quality and quantity. Okay, I think that is it for that one. And ask the Holy Spirit to help you as you read. All right, prayer. We're going on to prayer now. Prayer has become an amazing time in my life. Honestly, for the first probably 20 years, prayer was kind of something I did. I had a list and I worked through it, and I could tell you, even though it was a page long, I could tell you the order because I kind of just prayed the list. But at some point, when Dad passed away about 4 years ago, and when my body went downhill physically, that kind of broke me to the point that I needed God more than I have ever needed him. And that desperation created within me this desire to engage with God, not to just say I had engaged with God, but to actively engage with him. And the friendship that I have forged with him has been priceless. And many people, strong personalities like myself, we look so strong on the outside. I mean, people are like, oh yeah, she's totally confident. I have like 40 ounces of water up here because I get so nervous, and I will probably drink a lake while talking to you guys because I get nervous. I don't show it, but we all face insecurity. We all face inadequacies. And with God, I am mask off, hot mess. And I love that I can be that. I come to my God time like, God, I'm so discouraged. Now, we have to bring ourselves out of that. You can't stay that because we want to pray in faith. But I can just be honest, and I don't have to be funny. I don't have to be pretty. I am usually, do not step outside that room because mama is not looking very together right now. But God doesn't care. I can spend that time with him, and the friendship is priceless. Now, in my time with the Lord, James 4:8 says, if we will draw near to him, he will draw near to us. And that is where we pray in faith. You might not feel him, but you trust. I will say at times when I don't feel him, God, I know you are right here. And I know that you care about what I'm praying. And I know that you are working in these things. And then we ask in our God time, go ahead to the PowerPoint. We can ask for direction. James 1:5 says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraids not. Now, here's the thing. There are times that I ask for wisdom and hear nothing. And then I ask for wisdom about the same thing the next day and hear nothing. And the next day and the next day. But then all of a sudden, as I am faithful to keep knocking and keep asking and keep praying in faith that God's going to answer, all of a sudden, it's like one day God gets chatty and starts answering all this stuff that I have been asking for weeks. One night, I woke up in the middle of the night and the Lord was just like talking to me and saying all these things in my heart. And there had been one thing that I had been praying about for probably months, something I had asked for direction on, but he had not answered it yet. So I thought, wow, God's chatty. I'm just going to ask him this question he has not answered to this point. And so I asked him in my spirit, because I'm just lying in my bed the whole time. I asked him, and it was like I heard the Holy Spirit laugh, like, good try, but we're not there yet. And there, when we ask for wisdom from God, when we pray, we have got to pray in faith, whether we see the answer, whether we hear the answer or not, knowing that it will come. Yesterday was a very discouraging day in my life. I was just discouraged about some stuff. And it would have been really nice if God had just shone his light on me and spoken to me and encouraged me. That didn't happen. I just kept praising and praying. But this morning I woke up and God just started speaking things to me. I wasn't expecting it. God just started speaking things. Even while I was leading worship this morning, the Lord was just speaking things to my heart. And I was like, trying not to fall apart. It's really hard to sing and cry at the same time. So I was trying to, okay, we can't get emotional right now, but the Lord was speaking. So that is where you just keep praying, you keep knocking, and you keep coming to that time with the Lord in full expectation that he's going to speak, because he will. Also, prayer is a great exchange where we bring our weakness and we trust the Lord that as I walk out of this place, you're making me strong. I bring my insecurity, but I am walking out in your power. I bring my questions and I am walking out by faith. I'm going to have the answers when I need them. I'm bringing my drama and I am walking out with your courage to face whatever the day holds. And finally, prayer is a battle. Ezekiel 22:30 says, I sought for a man among them who would make a wall, stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Prayer is battle. That is where we are fighting for our families. We are fighting for our country. We're not whining. We're not. And if we vent, we vent. But then we bring it back to God. I know that you're honoring your word. God, I know that you're going to be faithful. And he will. Prayer avails. The prayer of a righteous man, James 5:16, says it avails much. Abraham interceded for Sodom and Gomorrah, and the Lord listened. Moses interceded for the whole nation of Israel, and God listened. Jacob, he interceded. He said, he wrestled with the Lord. I will not let you go until you bless me. And the Lord blessed him. So a lot of times we come to prayer time just kind of like, I'm going to get through this. But Darlene Check wrote a song years ago, and it was called Touching Heaven, Changing Earth. And that is what I see my prayer time is. I am coming to the Lord. I'm going to touch heaven in faith, and I'm going to change earth. And I believe that as we come to our prayer time in faith, we're going to see great things happen. The rewards of prayer of faith. I love this verse because it just reminds us. Matthew 6:6 says, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you've shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret. This is your promise, and you claim this promise every time you pray. He will reward you openly. When you pray secretly for your kids, you are trusting the Lord that openly you're going to see them following the Lord. When you pray for breakthrough in your job or in whatever, you are believing that God, you're going to openly see God move, because that is the promise. And if you fight the fear of, oh, this prayer is never going to work, no, that's where you fight that lie with God's word. No, God's word says he is going to reward this thing, and I'm going to openly see him moving through this prayer life. And Hebrews 11:6 says, he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. God is a rewarder of those who not just seek him, but diligently seek him in faith. Because we got to come to God believing that he is. And we believe that he's going to reward this time. And I'm going to see that prayer answered in the open. So prayer is powerful. Next, hearing from God. Okay, John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice. So you can hear from the Lord. How do we hear from God? Four main ways. So you got a Bible up there. First of all, we hear from God through his word. Romans 10:17. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now that word is rhema. Rhema, that means the spoken word of God. So while you are reading the word of God, often the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart while you are reading it. There will be times when I am reading the word of God, it's like a passage jumps off the page at me. Or sometimes I'll be reading the word of God and I'll ask kind of a question. I'm like, I don't get that. And all of a sudden, just a little piece of a verse will just kind of come up in my heart. And so I'll look up that verse and then it will answer my question. That is a dialogue with the Lord while I'm reading his word. It's very cool when the Holy Spirit does that. God will speak to us in a still small voice. Many know in 1 Kings 19, Elijah has gone to the mountaintop because he's discouraged and Jezebel is threatening his life. And the Lord speaks to him in a still small voice. When the Lord speaks to you, often I have to get really quiet. Now, sometimes I love music. Oh, how I love music. But a lot of times at the end of my prayer time, I turn it all off and I get like quiet. And I just listen in my heart with my pen ready and my prayer journal, because I'm in faith that God's going to speak to me. And when things start coming to my mind, I just start writing. Or I have my computer. Sometimes I'll just type it out. And I just listen, listen, listen. And those are the times when I get really quiet that I will hear the Lord speak. Not every day, most days, but on the days when I don't. And this is kind of a week that, honestly, I didn't hear a lot from the Lord till today when he made up for it. But I didn't hear a lot, but you just stay in faith. Keep that pen ready. Keep ready. And then we steward what God says. I keep a journal, and it's amazing how quickly I can forget what he said, and I want to be a good steward of it. So we remember, we thank him when he speaks to us, and we keep expecting more. Colossians 3:15, this is an amazing verse. God speaks to us so through his word, through our prayer, through our still small voice, and also through our peace level. Colossians 3:15 says, where does it say it? Colossians 3:15, but let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Oh, you've got that. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. Now that rule means, it's in the Greek, it says brabuo. That sounds so technical, brabuo. But that rule word actually means to act as an umpire. So when you're going to do something and you feel in your heart like, wait, I shouldn't do that, let that peace umpire your heart. There have been times that I have been about to commit to something, somebody will ask me something. In fact, somebody asked me to speak somewhere a couple of weeks ago, and it was a good thing. It was to encourage some women, and I felt like God said, nope, don't do it, in my heart. And so I waited. Now, this is what I do. If I feel like I'm not sure, that I might be feeling off about that, you wait. And you pray over it, and you just kind of keep feeling out the Lord. Because sometimes, you know, it might be fear. Sometimes it's hard to tell. Wait, am I just scared of doing this? Or is this the Lord saying no? So you just keep kind of praying on it. And then after you've prayed, then you just go with whatever feels the best in your heart that lines up with God's word. Let that peace really speak to you and let it umpire your heart, like Colossians 3:15 says. And then let others speak into your life. Proverbs 11:14 says, where there's no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. And Proverbs 15:22 says, without counsel, plans go awry, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. We all need good, godly people in our lives who can just speak to us, speak truth, and we want to honor those people. Hey, Hebrews 10:25 reminds us, hearing God, we need to be in a Bible-based church. Pastor Shannon and Pastor Rick, they pray over their sermons, and they pray over what God is saying to this body. So we need to be in church. If you want to hear what God is saying in for your life, then let's be in his house and hear it. Okay, let's move on to worship. Psalm 134 says, come bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Worship is blessing God. You know, when Father's Day rolls around, you're usually like, what do you get? I mean, we never knew. Dad was always easy, actually. He just wanted money. But most people like with Father's Day, they're like, what do I get, Dad? Nobody ever knows what to get fathers. But God is the Father who really has everything. I mean, like, really, he has everything. Well, what does he ask of us? He asks, of course, our tithes and offerings. That is obedience. But he asks us to worship him. And the Bible says, come bless the Lord. And that is, so our worship, it blesses him, but it also reminds us who he is and increases our faith. Psalm 77:11 through 12 says, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on all your work and talk of all your deeds. My prayer journal, that is like one of the most priceless things I have. When I write down the things that God has said to me, and so often I'm like, how did I forget that so quickly, what God had said? Worship causes us to just remember. In the Old Testament, the Israelites, God would often tell them, set up a marker here, set up a marker here, write this down, write down these things, remind your kids of them, because we're so quick to forget. And worship causes us to remember the goodness of God. Psalm 33:1 says, worship makes us beautiful. It's a free makeover. Praise the Lord. It says, rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. I didn't even get a chance to put on my makeup tonight, so I just worship. Praise the Lord. Worship causes us to draw near to the Lord. Psalm 100 verse 4 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he draws near to you. So if you want to get into God's presence, you do what he said to do. Enter his gates, start out by thanking him, start out by praising him. When I have my God time every day, I start out with praise and worship. If you go in with just a list, sometimes you don't, it's like you have no faith because you haven't even reminded yourself who God is. But when you start off praising God and thanking him for what he's done in the past and you're in his presence, man, you can do some war in prayer when you started out the right way. Worship is warfare. Jehoshaphat, many know the story in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 21 through 22. When Jehoshaphat went to battle, God said, you will not need to fight this battle. He put the worshipers out front. And when they got to the battlefield, the Lord had sent the ambushments. God had taken care of their stuff while they worshiped. That is what worship is. We just worship the Lord, say, I can't do this, but you can, and I trust you. And God shows up as we stand in faith and worship. So it's powerful. Okay, we're going to go on to baptism, and we're going to wrap it up soon because I'm going to run out of time here. Baptism, Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. Everyone who has become a Christian should be baptized. Why? Romans 6, 3 and 4 says, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. When you become a Christian, you say goodbye to the sin, you repent of that sin, you turn away from it, and you become a new creation in Christ. Baptism basically, go ahead and put the PowerPoint up. Baptism basically shows on the outside what has happened on the inside. You are buried in the water, watery grave. You are burying that sin. You are coming up just like Jesus came out of the grave, newness of life. You are coming up in newness of life, and it is a testimony to all who see it what God has done in your heart. Matthew 28:19 says, go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, baptism, the word, the Greek, is baptizo, which means to immerse or submerge. That is why when we baptize people, we put them all the way down. We want all that sin to stay down. We don't want to just rinse it a little bit, man. We want that stuff to stay in the water. And then they come up, and by faith, all that sin, all that old life stays down in that watery grave. Jesus, even before he went into public ministry, he was baptized, showing us the importance of baptism. Now, if you are not baptized, if someone passes away having given their life to the Lord, but they weren't baptized, can they still go to heaven? The thief on the cross, when he came to Jesus, he was not baptized. But the Lord said, today you will be with me in paradise. But baptism is obedience. So the minute you are saved, man, tell the pastor, start drawing the water. Let's get this thing done because Jesus told me to do it. All right, and this last one's going to take about a minute, and I'm going to finish up with this one. I have like five more, but we will do that in the future. Church attendance. It should. I don't honestly understand why churches meet less and less these days. I am so grateful that our church still meets often because it's scriptural. Hebrews 10:25 says, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves, even more as you see that day approaching. I don't understand what people don't understand about more as you see that day approaching. This world has gotten darker and darker. If ever there's a time we need more Jesus, it is now. So I love that our church still meets. Psalm 134:1 says, come bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who stand by night. We are standing by night. We are doing it in the house of the Lord. Acts 2:46. The Acts church, we see them as this revival. Really, what you read in the book of Acts should be happening in our lives all the time. That should be the church of today. And what did the Acts church do? They met daily, and they were seeing thousands come. They were seeing miraculous signs and wonders, but they were on fire for God, and they weren't afraid to show it with their time. The last thing with church attendance, 1 Corinthians 9:24, I see church as kind of Olympic training. 1 Corinthians, it says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. I do not run. Even when chased, most of the time the kids are chasing me, I'm like, no, you better stop, because mom is not going to, I'm not feeling this running thing. Don't love to run. Caleb, he will run. I do not love to run. But spiritually, I want to run. And when I do run, it's really nice if some, when we did the walk for life in St. Mary's at the end, everybody's like, woohoo, cheering you on at the end. And you just kind of put a little more pep in your step. Okay, I'm walking. Let's do this. It just makes you move, right? Well, that is what church is. That is when you come to church and we are cheering you on, man. You can do this. This is what the word says. Yes, it might be a trial, but God's word says you will come through this. The pastors are preaching sermons that the Lord has given for you. So we are training to run this race. And if we want to run this race well, we need to be in God's word. We need to realize the priceless gift that he offers us of his presence. We need to worship him. We need to spend time with him, be in his house, be baptized, and avoid sin. Those are all my points. Okay, God bless you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I pray for each of us that we will follow the disciplines that you have set out in your word for us, God, that we will run this race and that we will run it well. God, we want to honor you and we want to take this city and this nation for your glory. And I realize that this is a battlefield. God, you cannot run, you cannot go out onto a battlefield ill-equipped. And you've given us all these tools, so we want to avail ourselves of them. God, we want to be learners of your word. We want to be practicing your presence, God. We want to learn how to worship you in spirit and in truth. And when the trials come, we want to be prepared because you've given us the tools to be prepared. I pray that we will be strategic in the way that we seek you, God, and that together you and we, God, will change the world in Jesus' name.